Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day.
Welcome in to the Hard Truth Indiana postgame show, where the Indiana Hoosiers come away with a big victory of 20-15 today over the Michigan Wolverines. And it was a game that had everything you could want. Drama, suspense, calls that went against us instead of for us. But Indiana, at the end of the day, had a chance to earn a hard victory, something that good teams or championship teams need these type of games to really solidify them as a true contender. And today, for the first time, Indiana went into the second half with a lead that was minimal at best. And then, of course, Curtis Rourke throws the big interception as they came out of halftime in the third quarter, that led to a Michigan score or in field goal, which Indiana's defense did a great job today all afternoon in this ball game. The one big thing that stands out for me as it pertains to Indiana's offense today, they had 41 yards in lost rushing attempts. That is by far their worst output of the season rushing the football. And I don't believe Indiana, in some respects, the last 2 weeks has struggled in the running game to the point where I'm not quite sure they're giving themselves enough of an opportunity to establish a running game again each and every week. Michigan was loading up. They were blitzing quite frequently, and they were manning up on the outside. So if you don't, they were forcing Indiana into the RPO game where they were throwing 50-50 balls, and that is a definite win for a defense because you're not always going to hit the big plays down the field. And Indiana today just struggled mightily to run the football with any significance today, and Michigan's defense has to be credited. Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator, back in the days when I was coaching in our young days, I went up against Wink. He's a very good defensive mind. He spent a lot of time in the NFL, and he knows how to put offenses in conflict. And today, Indiana just had opportunities today that they haven't had to overly worry about. The other thing that has started to come to the forefront is Indiana's third down conversion rate. They had been on fire all year on third down conversions based upon their ability to have a lot of efficiency on first down and second down. And I think that's the one thing that kind of stood out in the last couple of weeks is Indiana today was 4 of 11 in third down efficiency, and they went for it only once today on fourth down, and they were 0 for 1. So it was not a very good day in the office for the offense, but when you flip the sides of the football, Indiana's defense, again, great performance top to bottom. Did they give up some third down situations where they needed to get off the field? You bet. But today they held Michigan's mighty rushing attack to only 69 yards. They held Michigan to 69 yards of rushing and only 200 total yards overall, 206 to be exact. In the passing game, they only netted 137. They were 16 for 32 on the day. So, again, a defensive performance. And one of the biggest things that has come to the forefront for Indiana this last few weeks, and I've talked about this on my show and even with Jimmy, is at this time of year, turnover margin as well as special teams become a very important facet of the game. Indiana today was able to get that big return by Williams at the right time that gave Indiana their best field position in the second half. And it led to the Radovich field goal. But prior to that field goal, I mean, Elijah Surratt had two critical drops today, something that you do not see that kid do at all. I mean, he's really sure-handed, but he had two critical drops. The one especially that Indiana ended up kicking the Radovich field goal. It was a great throw by Rourke on the one-on-one 50-50 ball. He put it right where he needed it, and Surratt had it. And at the end of the – and as he came down, he didn't maintain control, and it went for a incompletion. And those – that play, and then there was another play where he dropped it by Indiana's sideline on third down that would have converted and been a first down. So those are the type of plays that you have not seen Indiana not make. I mean, today was the first time where, you know, passes thrown and dropped were critical at critical times of the game, and they just weren't able to secure them. And like I said, it was very uncharacteristic of Elijah Surratt to not bring those passes in, and ultimately led to the field goal that Radovich nailed. And he's been consistent all year, walked out and did what, you know, did what he needed. Michigan's kicker, man, he's a good kicker. He, that 56 yarder would have probably been good from 65 yards. I mean, that kid had a leg on him. And Indiana again today found a way to win. And in the game of football or any sport, it's all about scoring one more point than your opponent does. And Indiana had five more than Michigan. They moved to 10-0 and a much needed bye week, because this was the first time that I thought Indiana looked tired. They looked like they had some heavy legs out there during the game. And I think especially up front with the big fellas, they were not getting the normal push that they normally were able to get most of the year in the run game. So that added to the reason the running game wasn't as good. And then the other thing of it was they had pressure on Rourke in the passing game. And here comes the leader back into the fray of things as we're live. I took us live. I followed orders.
Good deal.
I know Lauren's got probably a great intro, but I didn't find it. So we'll just keep it rolling. But if she wants to if you want to take a break and send it to something and come back and start it up, we can do that. But Jimmy, I was just talking, today was the first time that I felt that Indiana, especially up front, looked a little heavy legged, and they did not have that necessary bounce in their step. And that kind of contributed to the fact that they were only able to rush the ball for 40 yards today. And Michigan had 41 yards in TFLs against Indiana today, which is something we haven't seen all year. And then again, two critical drops that Surratt had in this ball game that was uncharacteristic of him. So I'm interested to get your take on some of that. You just came out of Sig's presser and kind of maybe sum her up where we're at, where he was at the microphone just about 5 minutes ago.
Happy and unhappy. And unhappy.
Yeah.
I get you. Obviously very happy for the win. You're going to take this win. You're 10-0, number one. You beat Michigan, number two. Although it was closer than a lot of people thought it would be, Michigan is a good team. This is the reigning national champion. Their line is really good. We saw that. Offensively, they were, you know, hamstrung, but yet still were able to put Indiana's defense in a little bit of a quandary here and there, but it was more Indiana's offense and their lack of ability tonight. And again, I sent this out in a tweet during the game. You got to give Michigan a ton of credit. They got to Indiana four times and dropped him. And that's only like the 10th sack all year. So that's the most in any game that Indiana has given up. But again, you're playing against some really good players.
Absolutely.
No secret there. But there's things that Indiana is going to have to work on, and they'll go and they'll watch the film tomorrow, and they'll do that tomorrow. But Kurt Cignetti's made it clear they're going to enjoy tonight. Is like right now over here, you can
absolutely
there's a party going on. I don't know if you can see that out there. Can you see
a hard truth? A hard truth party. We got a hard truth party going on.
the president Pamela Whitten is out there. I know, and I see Scott Dolson out there. I don't know what all that was for. I can see all the I see a bottle of champagne maybe on the ground. Oh, hey. Well, you know what? Maybe if I thanks to the good neighbor here, if you look, you probably can't see that scoreboard. It says Natalie every day with you is 10-0. Will you marry me?
Oh my goodness.
So I don't know who that was, but obviously they're someone that may work in the IU athletics department. Not sure, because like I said, Scott Dolson's out there, President Pamela Whitten. Nothing to do with the football game, but it's a hell of a lot easier to pop that question when you are 10-0 instead of having to say at least he didn't have to say it's 9-1. So
I'm wondering if he would have postponed that proposal if Indiana had not eked this one out tonight and had to postpone the engagement, because they would have messed up the scoreboard.
Yes, it would have. I'm trying to get the stats pulled back up, but Indiana was not their normal self, but at the end of the first half, Michigan had 94 total yards.
Yeah.
People, 94 total yards. But Indiana just made things difficult on themselves. They didn't get in the end zone on the time where there was the offensive pass interference called. That cost them from getting a touchdown, which they would have scored.
Call.
Yeah, it really. And I didn't see it. I didn't get to see the replay, so I don't know. Then you had the targeting call, which against Jameer Johnson, which they got very lucky on, if you want to be honest. That comes a minute, like later. A minute 40 to go before the half ends. So they lose him for the remainder of that half. And the second half, they get him back for the next game, which is Ohio State. Huge there. So, and now Indiana gets to take 2 weeks off and work on some of the things that weren't perfect tonight. Kurt Cignetti talked about, hey, you know what? No style points tonight. That game wasn't the prettiest, but it's the first time we haven't had style points. So Indiana's 10-0. He said, I'll take the win over Michigan. And he's right. You've got to find that positive sometimes, even though that people like me, I thought it would be a little easier than that just because of what Indiana had been able to do and what Michigan had not been able to do coming into this game. But Indiana just kind of they cost themselves, but Michigan did a great job getting to the quarterback and making life difficult for him. There were some drops. There was a drop by Surratt there that was kind of a wide open deal, but it was a very gritty win. It was a game that had they faced adversity they had not faced all season. Yeah. First of all, this is the only game where they have faced adversity this late in the game. The only game where someone had been close. The only game where someone had been within a score of being able to change that. And this defense, my God, they came up big time after time tonight with huge stops. What were the third down conversions? I know early on.
Yeah, well,
they were doing such a tremendous job.
Michigan finished at five for 15 in third down conversions. Indiana was 4 of 11. So back-to-back weeks, Indiana has not achieved where they were at overall for the year. And most of that is because of they're not getting efficiency on their first and second downs, and they're getting behind the chains. And that comment there that was up by Russell was every championship team have games like this. Champions find a way to win these games. And that is a true statement. Defensively looked like they had all year. Honestly, they played the game like they played all year. Didn't really get to the quarterback as much, but they did put pressure on him. And that was one of these games where, hey, a good defense wins championships. And we found out today that Indiana's defense is a championship caliber defense.
Yeah, and there's a great stat there, Michigan defense. You probably already talked about this, but with 41 yards in those TFLs, something Indiana did greatly against Michigan State last week. But this week, the shoe was on the other foot, but they were able to do what Michigan State couldn't, and that was get around that adversity and still figure out a way to win. I thought Indiana's offense would kind of loosen up a little more in the second half. To me, they went away from – they were trying to go for too many, not really home run balls, but
that forced into 50-50 balls.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, dude, get back to the quick throws, the quick slants, bam, 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 bam. Those are just hard to stop. And you're not giving the defensive line enough time to get to you to interfere with that. So I think that they'll probably go back and look and see some things that maybe they should have done different, but it was probably not in the game plan, and it was an adjustment that was having to be made. But I wonder, and I asked Kurt Cignetti about, facing this adversity, probably not a bad thing. I said, I know it's better for the ticker to win 47-13 or whatever, but with, you've got 2 weeks coming up, and now the biggest game yet coming up. This adversity, will it help going forward? And of course, yes is the answer to that. But this is probably the best time for that to have happened. As a coach, is it better for this team to have won like they won tonight in this gritty kind of gutting it out win, defense on the line every, time after time and coming up big? Offense going to have to learn some things about themselves and going in to Columbus in 2 weeks and taking on Ohio State rather than had it been last week where they just, destroyed Michigan State and everything looked like rainbows and unicorns. So I think that this will – Cignetti will use this as a way to say, hey, you guys are 10-0, but guess what? So, you're going to play someone who wants to put that L on you bigger than anyone else in the season. And that's the truth because Ohio State – as we saw today, Miami goes down to Georgia Tech. That's going to be a big knock on their college football playoff hopes, but they can just simply win the ACC. But regardless of that, what did Ole Miss end up doing?
I did not see a final. They were up, but I did not see a final, and I can try to pick it up here real quick. But
well, I'm sure that our people will throw it up as well. Yeah. But, Ole Miss and Georgia, it's another big thing. So all this stuff is important, and getting this win. Now, when these teams lose, even though it was a gritty win, a closer-than-expected win, they're still going to move up. They're going to move up. Yeah. And what that does is it helps solidify what they're going to be able to do if they happen to lose to Ohio State. Then it's going to – you've got a lot more room to move down than you would had this game gone the other way.
Well, one thing that I know from the college football playoff perspective, in some respects, listening to that Tuesday show, was they've kind of already figured in Indiana, quote unquote, losing to Ohio State. So today's game was a game to really solidify them in the playoffs more than anything. And now, you know, it's a matter of taking care of business against teams that you should take care of business against, and go up against the Ohio State and just let it all fly, because they got a chance to get into themselves into the championship game, the Big Ten championship game, if they can find way to beat Ohio State. What I was going to say in terms of what you were asking about the adversity aspect of things, what it's shown over the last couple of weeks to me, and I've said this on the show, and I think we talked about it on Thursday, is having special teams find ways to pick you up as an offense or a defense. And they've done that the last few weeks. They did it against Washington. They did it last week against Michigan State, getting the block and also the muff snap. And then Williams tonight gets the biggest play of the game. Probably the play that put the final nail in the coffin of Michigan was the punt return that gave Indiana great field position, the best they had all day. And while they didn't get in after that Surratt drop, Radovich steps up and nails one right down the middle of the field goalpost. And that to me means when kids see that, they know that everybody's together, that they understand that not everybody's going to play perfect, but there's other parts of the game that they can find ways to elevate their play and pick it up. And special teams has done that the last two or three weeks, which I think has been huge in Indiana's favor as it pertains to cohesiveness, especially when you're struggling on one side of the ball.
It's now, easy for you to say.
Yeah, that's right. One thing I will say, and I'm going to be a little bit critical here, and I know they won, but one thing, offensively, number one, they've got to have a running game. They have totally abandoned their running game. And I understand that RPOs are a huge factor of it. But when Michigan locks them up and goes to 50-50 balls, that's not a great RPO percentage. You got to find ways to utilize Lawton, Black, Ellison in the run game. And right now, they're just running one play most of the time, which is inside zone. They've lost all creativity there. That's number one. Number two, I just don't understand why your ball in the third quarter, you're on your like 10-yard line and you're throwing an RPO down there, and Curtis throws it right to the opponent. And that is those are some of the things that you scratch your head at times, especially in a tight ball game. Now, the best thing that happened there was the defense rose up and forced Michigan to kick a field goal. And that was huge. Now that you look back in time, with this ball game, Indiana's defense being able to force Michigan, who had the ball at the 5-yard line, and they had to kick a field goal. And to me, that was one of those situations where you see a side of the ball picking up the other side in terms of bailing them out on what was already a horrendous start to the second half. And it could have been a lot worse had Michigan scored there. But again, Indiana has found ways to win this year. And today was the first time where they really had to show a way to win. And they got it. So that was my only criticism from an offensive perspective. But I've seen it happen the last 2 weeks. That's the thing. The last 2 weeks, I just felt they've gotten away from trying to run the football effectively. We're talking a team that was averaging 200 yards a game. And now they've underproduced in the run game the last 2 weeks. Even though in Michigan State held them to, I think, 100 yards in the running game last week. So to me, that is a red flag right now. because you got to be able to run the football, especially in Indiana in the months of November and now potentially December.
Well, yeah, and especially going into Ohio State. They're going to watch this tape. And they're going to see where they can very probably expose Indiana is not the word I'm really looking for, but
I understand what you mean.
I don't want to say Indiana was exposed tonight, their offensive line, but they just lost another guy as well.
Yeah, so, yeah, I know. And I don't understand that one either. injuries the Achilles in practice. That's kind of freaky.
Dude, that's just something that can probably go at any time, unfortunately.
I know.
I feel mine even hiccup. I'm like, oh God, don't move.
Yeah.
Probably the worst injury that you can have, period, in life.
Oh, yeah.
As far as that goes. But
hate it for the kid.
And we didn't talk about that. I mean, talked about Michigan getting to the quarterback. Well, they were down another offensive lineman tonight. So
yeah,
Indiana doesn't have – that's probably the area where they have the least depth as well. But
agreed,
they got by it. They did give up the four sacks, but they got by it. They were able to do what they needed to do. But I agree, they've got to be able to run the ball. We've seen what happens when an Indiana team cannot run the ball. Just go back to last year. Of course, they didn't have a lot of things this team has, but you've got to be able to run the ball. Even this team has to be able to run the ball. When you don't, you become one dimensional. And then if they could get to your quarterback now, boy, that dimension is put on ice skates at times. And so that's kind of what it was. Rourke didn't look uncomfortable tonight, but he definitely had guys in his face a lot.
Well, it was a tale of two halves for Indiana's offense. I've got some video clips if you want me to throw up here.
Absolutely.
We'll take a look of the first one. How about Cooper? He's just really come on. This kid, I tell you, this is his touchdown. Hitting too many buttons there, Jenny. Yeah, that was just a great, great throw by Rourke to Omar Cooper, who has had a knack of getting into the end zone with limited reps. Now, he got a lot more today, and I don't know why that was. I don't know if there was some injury situations that kept, you know, some of the guys out. But that was the first touchdown for Indiana. Here's the play of double move by Elijah Surratt. And Curtis Rourke staying in the pocket and making a heck of a throw while taking a hit.
At the 36 of Michigan. Rourke straight drop this time. Going to go long. Airs it. Got a man there. Got it. Elijah Surratt. Touchdown. 36 yards.
Just a great.
Another one.
A great throw by Curtis there under pressure, got, you know, just kind of threw it up with some touch, and Surratt had a great double move that totally left the DB in trouble with that, you know, situation there. But it was a crazy first half. You thought they were going to start rolling it up, but then the second half happens, and this is the first play of the second half. And that one to me was so bad, just the situation where he just threw it right to the defender on an RPO. And that one there was not a great thing to happen. And that gave Michigan the ball about the 5-yard line. But that was the series to me, Jimmy, too, where the defense steps up, gets Michigan into a fourth down, and they try a field goal. So Indiana does their job defensively, holds them to three, because if they would have scored there, it would it changes the whole outlook in that ball game. But Indiana really rises up there. And then I'm going to show one more, Jimmy. This is the Savada kid hitting from 56 after Indiana's defense got another stop.
How about that? I've been sitting here working because I noticed that we had the wrong background up. It was Indiana and Michigan State from last week. And while you've been doing all that, I've been trying to make that happen. Now we've got the right one up there. But please, I digress.
I lost my I don't know what happened there. Let's see if I can find it here. Because it must
have while you're looking Indiana now with 2 weeks off in this bye period, Kurt Cignetti says he gets a night off at least. He's going to take the night off. I think there are a bunch of people in town, family and all of that. They have a big group. And they are just – you can tell this is different. It's not – there are, it's a family thing to
absolutely
Cignetti and all. I mean, this is different. They bring in a bunch of people, friends, family, whatever the case. And there is such a difference from any time before here. And it matters. And I think that for anyone that has concerns about, Cignetti's going to get snatched up and this and that. And the other thing, I really think that they, and he is enjoying the hell out of what he is doing here, what he is building here. How it's hard. It's you think it's going to be easier someplace else? It's hard here. Yeah. He's doing it where nobody else has ever done it, but that's going to go away, and that won't matter much longer because Indiana's not sneaking up on Ohio State next week. They're not going to sneak up on anybody in the college football playoffs. That ship has sailed. So I think that Kurt Cignetti is building a program right in Bloomington right now. And I don't think that him leaving is something that fans should worry about.
They're already in negotiations. I know that
of course they are.
Dolson is meeting with or providing information back and forth with Sig's agent, I would assume, or whoever takes care of his affairs, but that's already occurring. He's got all the bonus money. I mean, he's just every week they win, it's another bonus. I mean, I think another $50,000 went into his half.
Yeah, it was an ugly second half, ugly first half. I mean, it wasn't an ugly first half, but they started kind of like they did at Michigan State, both sides of the ball. They allowed Michigan – and that quarterback to was it Davis Warren?
Think his Warren. Name. Yeah.
You know, he's their throwing guy. Not that they were able to throw the ball that well. Looked kind of good. I think he started like 4 of 4 or something like that. And 67 yards, but yet they still didn't finish the half with over 100 yards. That blew my mind because after that, they got and then they get the turnover on the interception at, you know, inside the 10 yard line. You're like, oh hell, that's going to be difficult. But the defense just showed itself. They showed their true colors. You want to talk about adversity. This defense has been through adversity and they are coming up winners every time. So offense needs to get back into the gear.
Yeah. The defensive line, as we know, the last, two, 3 weeks have been really noticeable. Just to the casual viewer, but even to the people that are calling the game. I mean, Danielson was raving about the fact that Indiana's defensive line was just not giving Michigan anything in the run game. And they have a pretty darn two-headed running back room. Edwards is no slouch. And up front, they've done great job with a defensive line that was a big question mark coming out of the spring game, if you remember. C.J. West was the huge pickup, and that was the guy that kind of fit the pieces of the puzzle together. And, these are the type of games you win. You recognize the problems that you have to work on. You know, you meet it head on. I'm like Coach Cignetti's going to say, they're going to have a really good come to Jesus meeting on Monday or Tuesday when they watch the film. And, you know, these kids, they will be salivating to get in the film room to find out how do we get better, because we've got something better to accomplish and we've got it all in our hands because we control our own destiny.
Absolutely. And I think that they will use this as motivation to do that. And someone, I think it was Brian, just mentioned after today, IU could be an underdog at Ohio State. Well, they would have been an underdog at Ohio State no matter what happened here tonight. They would have had to have won 75-0 or something absolutely insanely crazy to not be an underdog going in to play the number three team in Columbus with 100,000 people there. It's going to be a very tough environment. You know, I said that about Michigan State, but it wasn't, because Indiana took them out of the game quickly, and there were probably only, I don't know, 65,000 there.
Yeah.
Not that that's not a lot of people. It is, but there will be 100,000 people at Ohio State. It will be full. It will be loud. And they will try to do everything they can to help their team, because they know that this is not the Grandpa's Indiana team coming in. They know that, and they can't afford a loss. Again, I Miami loses today. I don't know what happened with Georgia. They were losing to Ole Miss. But they have a loss. They can't afford another loss, nor do they want that, because I think they still get in, but they're going to be traveling. Indiana has to win that game to host a game. That's the bottom line there. They have to beat Ohio State to get into the Big Ten championship, which if they beat Ohio State, they will wind up in the Big Ten championship. They will go 12-0. But that's the only way they're going to host a game, I think.
Yeah. Georgia was upset today by Ole Miss 28-10. Ole Miss and Georgia now both have two losses, but Ole Miss controls their own destiny. So this will be very interesting now, because this could really open the gates to solidify even four teams from the Big Ten on getting in the rest of the way.
That's what I meant about Indiana, because even if they get that loss, it would have hurt them normally probably, but now they're going to rise this week, Tuesday, when that CFP comes out. What are they, eight? They're probably going to be six. Did Miami and Georgia loses? They've got to drop below Indiana. Yeah. And how that means there's going to be four teams in the top six of the CFP. Right. Are you kidding me here?
Yeah. And Indiana really should be ahead of should be really ranked ahead of Penn State.
I agree 1,000%.
Because that's where you get this brand awareness thing about the situation. And I, you know, there are going to make excuses why Indiana didn't beat Michigan by 20, but Michigan came into this game. I think they're at, were they at 6-2 overall or 6-4 overall? I can't remember.
I think they're five. I think they had five wins because they're still looking for bowl eligibility.
Right. That's right. So, I mean, it was.
And they needed this game because of that, because they have to play Ohio State at the end of the season. Probably a loss, and that means they probably only have they have two other games or just one game remaining. Going to be a big real Michigan.
Yeah, they I think they play they're actually off as well next week.
Who's that?
So, Michigan.
So that means they only have two games remaining. So
hold on there. Maybe I misspoke.
If that is the case, that would make it tight for Michigan. But we saw UCLA upset Iowa on Friday night. UCLA rising, that makes that win look a little better. They're probably not going to have enough time to make a bowl game, but they're making a charge, man. It's possible. They've got four wins now. So that could be a huge help. But Indiana doesn't really need any help at this point. They just need to win.
We're in the best possible position. State,
it comes down. It's very, very simple. If they can upset Ohio State, they're going to the Big Ten championship game.
Mm-hmm.
They will wind up 12-0 and play a 12-0 Oregon. if they lose and wind up 11-1, they're going to travel in the first round of the college football playoffs. And where I no idea at this moment, that's still weeks from shaking out, but that's how that will end up, partly because Penn State is not, there's no one on their schedule that's going to beat them the remainder of the season. And they are, you know, they're going to get the advantage of being Penn State, even though they haven't beaten anybody. You know, their best win is what? In overtime at USC, who was 2-5 coming into this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that. Yeah, you're right there. Michigan is off next week, just like Indiana is. They come back on the 23rd and play Northwestern. So you got to think they're going to get that one because it is at home and before they line up against Ohio State in the battle of the borders game to that respect. Yeah, they play at Wrigley Field, Ohio State does next week. But no, I think everything Indiana has talked about this year, you know, you control the controllables. And in this situation, you always have control of how you go about your business. And right now, irregardless, they've essentially solidified, in my mind, their position in the playoffs, because I know the algorithms now go to them being a 92% chance of being in the college football playoffs if they had beaten Michigan today, and they did. So that means they, to me, are solid in the college football playoffs. But they get a chance to go do something, you know, Indiana hasn't done in a while, upset Ohio State at Ohio State to get themselves in a position where the Purdue game has a lot riding on it, not just the bucket, but a chance to go and be in the Big Ten title game. So,
well, I'm trying to get out of those lights. There's no way to get out of it. But I was waving my make-believe towel here.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not a towel. No, that's, you know what that is? Can you see?
Is it looks like aluminum foil.
A hot dog wrapper.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn dirty-ass hot dog wrapper. It's all I can pick up. It's all I had, man. It's all that's here. The towels are gone. They're up there and gone. It was an incredible sight, though, to see that. 53,000 people here today, the biggest, highest attended game, not only this season, but one of the highest attended games probably ever. I'd have to go back. I know that the record is like 59 from in set in 69 and like 56,000 or something. But it was an incredible scene. All those towels, every third down, the fans were loud. I couldn't hear them. I wasn't outside. I'd rather have been outside to hear all that, but you could tell, boy, it was just a great environment. Signetti mentioned it after the game that the fan, they needed the fans, that they were huge in this game tonight. And man, they were into it. They were in it to win it, and they were here the whole time. Afterwards, of course, the guys run over and visit the students, and that's a great deal. And then, same thing on the other side of the field for the regular season ticket holders. Just an incredible environment. And to see this taking place here in Bloomington, it's crazy. You only got one more home game left, too, unless they upset Ohio State. Then you'll add one more. Can you imagine a college football playoff game here? That would be nuts as well. But they've got a tough row to hoe to make that happen. Not that it's not possible. And for people that get a little nervous because of how this game shook out, don't. Just look around. Look at Miami. Look at Georgia. Look at Ohio State and Nebraska. The week after Nebraska got its head handed to it by Indiana. So things change. And this team is too good to not recognize those changes. They will be ready for that game. I have no doubts about that. Signetti knows the importance of that. And not that losing that game is an impossibility. Hell, they are going to be the underdog. It started out as like a 13.5-point spread, and then last time I looked, it was at 9.5.
Yeah.
So I wonder what it'll change to after this weekend. We'll see if it does or not. It might not. We'll see, but none of that matters. Indiana is going to go there and have a chance to put themselves into the Big Ten championship game. And that's what next week is about.
If you want to talk about championship games first,
it is for a spot in the Big Ten championship game. That's exactly what next week comes down to, in addition to the college football playoff talk that goes with that, of course. But first things first, because if they can get into the Big Ten championship game, who knows what the hell can happen from there, because then they'll get a shot at Oregon. If they could knock Oregon off, they would not get – yeah, they would. They would not get the opportunity to host a game because they'd have a bye, and they would go straight to pay $200 and go straight to Pasadena.
Yeah.
Which is where the Big Ten champion will go, because they're still recognizing those bounds from the years of the Big Ten having that partnership with the Rose Bowl and whatnot. That goes for another 2 years. And then after that, it's just strictly going to be on location, where you're located and all that good stuff. But Indiana is in the thick of it without question. They are 10-0, people. First time this program in 136 years has won 10 games. Kurt Cignetti continues to extend the record he set by being the first and only Division I coach in college football history to start 8-0 or better at two different schools in back-to-back years. He went 10-0 at JMU last year. Now he's 10-0 at Indiana. Buddy, that's going to be one that sits there for a long, long time, and it would look pretty nice on anybody's resume.
Well, there's a reason why he got 500 votes for president of the United States.
Oh, yeah. I wish I would not forgetting. I didn't remember to mention that on the show the other day. 487 votes for president. That's how insane this has gotten, but it's great. People love him. They love what he brings. They love his boxy. But they love that his teams are backing up everything that he has said coming into this. So I'm not going to be shocked if they can go to Ohio State and upset the Buckeyes and play in the Big Ten championship game, because that's what he told the BTN guys last year at the Big Ten championship game. But that would be a whole nother deal that
he said at the Big Ten conference game that he'd only been picked the second to last twice in his coaching career, and each time they were picked second to last, they won the conference. So he just says, I'm not bragging, that's just a historical fact. So he may rewrite that make it a trilogy now, because of the way he's going at this point in time. So it's going to be a great opportunity for Indiana. They'll take this week to really heal some bumps and bruises and, give the guys plenty of time to get their legs back underneath them as well. And it also gives Indiana a chance to, do some recruiting off of this, where they're at in terms of the national spotlight. You got to capture that in your recruiting, and this gives them that opportunity as well with having a bye week to get out and maybe do a little recruiting as well, which is something that we really haven't talked about, because everybody's winning, and it's still a vital part of any program is recruiting, and
winning sells.
Yeah. Now, the crazy thing is Juju Lewis canceled again his second trip to Bloomington. So I think
I had put that out. If you saw that, a couple of days ago, I tweeted it out that do not expect to see him this weekend, because the information I had is he will not be in Bloomington. So,
But you canceled twice. That just is not a good look.
Is he still playing in the playoffs? I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I know he's had a pretty decent year, but he would definitely be a guy that Indiana would love to have.
But you know what? They're going to get somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
guys are going to be lining up wanting to play in this offense, number one, wanting to play for a team like this, wanting to be a part of a program to get an opportunity. There's going to be plenty. That stuff doesn't concern me. Look what they're doing with the talent they have.
Yeah.
So that should give smiles to every all Indiana fans. They should be
surprised. I would not be surprised if Indiana takes another talented portal transfer if there's one there to be taken, because
you have a Dylan Raiola and you struggle for the year. Why do you want to do that? I'm not big on building programs off of the portal, but using the portal for your best pieces.
Oh yeah. It's huge.
I'm fine with that. I mean, I'm like, whatever it, you know, if I was in that position, I would do whatever it took to be as good as I could be.
And Cignetti's approach to it is very good, because he's just not going to go grab somebody that has the moniker that can be good. He's going to go find the guys that on tape are good. And those are the ones that if he can bring into the program, he will. And that's it's been proven the guys that he has brought into the program via the portal were productive guys on tape, and they've become very productive guys on the field for him as well. So it's a tool that you, if utilized correctly, it can help you. But you also
Alabama lost again today as well.
No, Alabama is at the LSU right now, and they're up. I think they may have just scored again. Yeah, they
I thought someone again. Said that they had three losses already. I'm like, did they lose again?
Yeah, they're up 14-3 in the first quarter against LSU down in Baton Rouge right now.
James, this is kind of what I said earlier and what I asked to Cignetti in the presser about. He says this was the perfect time to have a quote unquote, it wasn't necessarily a bad game. It just wasn't a game in which they were on top of things, but to see what needs fixing through the bye week, get the rest before Ohio State. Also, that game will be a night game from what it sounds like. I don't know. I heard today from you. Yeah. You sent me that.
During the broadcast against the Ohio State game, the announcer, I can't think of his name right off the top of my head, made a comment that they will be back here in 2 weeks. So it sounds to me that it's going to be a big noon kickoff game for Indiana and Ohio State. Now, I'm not going to sit here and sell my house on it. I'm just going by the slip up the announcer made by making that comment that they're going to be there in 2 weeks again. So we'll find out here. I'm sure they've already know what, when and where they're playing that ball game, but it will be that is the top game that week by far.
It's one of the top games in all of college football.
Right, right. So it's going to be whoever, and I'm assuming Fox will have that right to choose which one they want to broadcast, and everybody else falls in behind them. But that's really neither here nor there for Indiana. But I love the fact that the kids battled hard, came back, got a chance. Defense did what it did today, what they've done all year pretty consistently. You know, they don't give up big plays or chunk plays. They've done really well getting pressure on quarterbacks. Today they just couldn't get to Warren enough to get a sack. The kid was pretty elusive in that regard. But they did a great job against a Michigan team that, you know, they can run the football, and Michigan's got a big, solid offensive line. They lost a lot of kids from last year, but at the end of the day, Indiana defensively really dominated Michigan in that regard today. Other than I think one drive they gave up was like a 11 play, 75 yard drive that they gave up for a score or field goal or something. But their play today was a championship caliber defensive play. And offense, you're going to have some of these games where, you know, you're not firing on all cylinders and you can't, you know, pick a drop to run the football, and you find guys that are dropping passes that are uncharacteristic, like Elijah Surratt, the two big drops he had today that kid makes, you know, with his eyes shut. So that's the beauty of it. It wasn't because we have a lack of talent or ability. It was just one of those days an offense struggled. And sometimes you got to tip your hat to the defensive team that you're playing, and Michigan had a good plan.
Absolutely. And like I said, they had their line did a great job doing what Indiana didn't do on defense. That's the one thing Indiana's defense didn't do tonight, was get to the quarterback a lot. They didn't get a ton of pressure on him. And that is something they're going to have to do, I think, against Ohio State.
Oh, yeah.
Without question. They have got to get to that quarterback and make life hard on him. Otherwise, they're going to just kind of pick you apart, and they are very good at not only running the ball, but throwing the ball. They're just a solid, good
yeah.
team.
And Howard. And
this offensive line has got to they've got to get back to protecting the quarterback, although, again, the talent level has ratcheted up, so it's not like they're doing this against – You know, Bloomington North or South High School here. They're playing the biggest of the best. Indiana is now going to play against one of the top five teams in the country, a team that picked by many to win the national championship, to win the Big Ten championship. And they're in that conversation. So that is great. And it's just great to see it. It was great to see this environment. I'm telling you, it was rocking from the morning on. It was just incredible. And, the one thing I forgot to say, and I hate that, but was to welcome everyone to the Hard Truth Indiana football postgame show. Big thanks to Hard Truth. Make sure you stop by and visit Hard Truth there in Nashville, Indiana, in Brown County, one of the most beautiful places in the state. Great time of year, but catch the game. They've got a full-service restaurant, cabins to stay overnight, live music, and just so much. Great spirits, most of all. They're Hard Truth, soft hard mash rye and their sour mash bourbons. They've got just great stuff, man, and they're great to us. And so big thanks to Hard Truth. Hopefully you go there and tell them. Heard about them on Indiana Sports Beat Radio. But we'll be back on Monday to start this again, as now we have 2 weeks to build this game up. And this is a game that is worthy of a two-week buildup. And we'll be able to find all kinds of things to talk about, especially after going back. Like, I go home every week and I rewatch the games, because it's not as easy to – when you're here and you're doing things, you just don't see it all. And so I go back home. I always record them, and I'll watch them and just watch this, that, and the other thing, and watch the other teams. And so it's just getting to be, we're deep into the season, people. There's only two games left in the regular season, one home game remaining, that against Purdue, who got blown to smithereens by Indiana's next opponent. Ohio State. What was that final today? Like 45-0?
They beat Purdue 45-0 in a game that was over by the end of the first quarter. Big win for Rutgers. They beat Minnesota 26-19.
Losses today, man. Surprising losses today.
Yeah, and UCLA beat Iowa last night 20-17. How about that UCLA team, dude, who struggled out of the gates, but now I think they've won like three or four in a row, if I'm not mistaken. So
I put out a tweet earlier this week that if it wasn't for Kurt Cignetti, Deshaun Foster would be in the conversation for Big Ten Coach of the Year at the end of this season.
Yeah, he's done a phenomenal
job. What a turnaround.
Yeah, so it's crazy. Washington and Penn State are playing now, as is Maryland and Oregon. So two more games in the Big Ten before the night's over. I appreciate being with you, my friend. once again.
It's always a pleasure, man. It's just great. But it's not anything if we don't have all the great people that join us, man. And we cannot thank you all enough. We love you all and love being able to do this for you guys. It has been an incredible season, and it is not over by any stretch of the imagination. Make sure, if you haven't already, just subscribe on the YouTube channel there so you don't miss a thing. We're on each and every Monday through Friday with the Indiana Sports Beat Radio Show that's heard in Fort Wayne and up in Hammond and Chicago and in Evansville and, of course, on YouTube as well. So that way you don't miss a thing. Subscribe, hit the notifications toggle, and make sure on each Thursday night you can catch Hoosier Tailgate with my man, Coach Shannon Griffith.
That's right.
We'll keep you covered on everything when it comes to Hoosier football. But, man, it's been a blast. As always, thank you. Thanks to Lauren for helping us out again. She's always great, and we're just going to continue to pump it out and make it good, man. And hopefully next time we're doing this in 2 weeks, it's going to be another win and at 11-0. That would be a shocker. And can Indiana's already surprised the hell out of the football world, but can they shock the football world? And if they go into Columbus and beat Ohio State, they will shock the football world.
Absolutely. And like
thanks to everybody. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'll see everybody Monday night for the recap of this game, what we're doing. And Thursday night, I'll be back with you on your show in the morning.
Absolutely. It's nonstop, people. Indiana Sports Beats got you covered. Just stay with us. Appreciate you guys so much. Until the next time, which will be Monday. Actually, that's not true for me. I guess tomorrow they have a basketball game. I forget about basketball now. they've got that other sport, but we'll probably have a post game show with Todd Leary tomorrow. Man, 7 day weeks—they're no fun, but it's all great. Better than digging.
Fun when you're winning. Fun when you're winning.
Absolutely. Everybody, have a great night, a wonderful weekend. Thank you so much. Until the next time, I'm Jim Coyle. I will see you on the radio.